This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 200 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to try to get through this one as quickly as I can while giving you guys as much information as possible. Yeah, I know that's usually how this podcast goes, but as you can probably tell by the sound of my voice, I've been sick over the last couple of days. So solo podcasting is not the easiest thing in the world to do right now. So apologies to all of you guys if I sound like an idiot on today's show. Just don't blame me, blame the sickness. Anyway, let's look at some ads and drops for week 15. Just as a reminder, there aren't buys and sells anymore since trade deadlines have passed. Add Deshaun Hamilton. Emmanuel Sanders' Achilles injury opened up the door for rookie Deshaun Hamilton. He played over 97% of Denver's snaps on Sunday, which was the most among Denver wide receivers. Now, a big reason for Emmanuel Sanders' strong performance this year in fantasy, aside from the fact that he's good at football, was the fact that the Broncos were utilizing him more in the slot. Through week 13, according to Pro Football Focus, Sanders was running 62.6% of his routes from that area of the field. His rate in 2017 was 28.3%, and in 2016, it was 23.3%. That's where Deshaun Hamilton played two-thirds of his snaps on Sunday. He was their slot receiver. He was filling in for Emmanuel Sanders. And he finished the game with 7 catches on 9 targets for 47 yards and a touchdown. And with plus matchups against Cleveland and Oakland over the next 2 weeks, Deshaun Hamilton could be legit for your fantasy football roster in weeks 15 and 16. Drop Peyton Barber. Barber is rostered in nearly 70% of ESPN.com leagues, but I would have a really hard time playing him during Tampa Bay's final 2 games of the fantasy season. In week 15, they're going to face Baltimore, who are allowing the third fewest fantasy points per game to running backs. And then in week 16, the Bucs get the Cowboys in Dallas. The Cowboys are fourth best at preventing fantasy points to opposing backs. I mean, let's be honest, you're really banking on a touchdown from Peyton Barber in order for him to be a worthwhile start. And that's going to be tough to come by in those particular matchups. So you can safely drop Barber. Add Curtis Samuel and drop Devin Funchess. This whole emergence of Curtis Samuel isn't anything new, and this is not the first time that I brought him up on this podcast. But he's still out there in about two-thirds of fantasy leagues, and that should change after 3 consecutive games of seeing at least 83% of Carolina's snaps. During this 3-game stretch, Samuel has 21 targets, and 19 of those targets have come over the last 2 games. So Curtis Samuel is here to stay, and Devin Funchess is certainly not. As Curtis Samuel has seen more and more work in this offense, Devin Funchess is seeing less and less work. In week 11, Funchess had an 83% snap rate, but over the last 2 weeks, his single game high is 46%. And back in that week 11 game, Devin Funchess also had 8 targets, but over his last 2 games, he has a combined 6 targets. So Curtis Samuel is the one that you want out of those 2 wide receivers. But for whatever reason, Devin Funchess is the one who's rostered in far more fantasy leagues. Hold Justin Jackson. So Justin Jackson didn't see the workload that some of you guys, including myself, were hoping for him to see in week 14. But Austin Eckler is now injured, and there's a chance that he's not able to go against the Chiefs on a short week, because they're playing on Thursday night. And with Melvin Gordon already sidelined, that would leave Justin Jackson as the sole lead back in that Chargers offense. So don't drop Justin Jackson just yet. Add Kiki Cutie. We haven't seen Cutie since week 12, and the Texans seem to be taking it slow with his hamstring injury. He was a game-time call in Week 14, but he ended up not playing. Now, I get it. You're probably not going to be able to trust him in Week 15 against the Jets. He's coming off an injury. You don't want to play a rookie slot receiver coming off an injury after he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. But if he does find the field and if he sees his usual workload, he could honestly be a PPR flex option for teams in Week 16 against a banged-up Eagles secondary. And let's not forget, in his most recent completed game, QT saw 9 targets. And he has 5+ targets in 4 of his 6 games played this year. He's a deeper option, but I think he's one to consider nonetheless. Drop the Miami passing attack. So this transaction, honestly, is mostly directed at Kenny Stills, because he's someone that you might be thinking about adding after back-to-back games with 6+ targets and a touchdown. And as much as I like Kenny Stills, it's hard for me to ignore Miami's matchups against the Vikings and Jags in weeks 15 and 16. Minnesota's been one of the best teams in the league against opposing wide receivers this year, and while Jacksonville has had bumps in the road defensively this season, they're actually the number one team against the wide receiver position, even better than Minnesota, and that's in terms of fantasy points against. So I would be avoiding this passing attack in the fantasy playoffs. Add Kenneth Dixon. Dixon saw 8 of a possible 26 Ravens running back carries on Sunday against the Chiefs, which isn't that great, but he played 32.4% of Baltimore snaps, which was about 11% higher than what we saw in week 13. So that positive trend should put him on your radar. And that's especially true on a Ravens team that's been the most run-heavy team by far in football since Lamar Jackson took over as quarterback. So like a lot of the other names on this week's list, he's not a must-add, but he's someone to target in deeper formats. And who knows, maybe that trend continues, and then you could play him in week 16. Hold Tevin Coleman and add Ito Smith. So having Tevin Coleman in fantasy football this year has sucked. It's been frustrating. When Devontae Freeman was placed on IR, the thought was that Tevin Coleman would absolutely thrive, and that Ito Smith would just be sort of a complimentary piece, similar to what we saw with Freeman and Coleman. Now the latter's been true, Ito Smith has been involved, but as a running back group, the Falcons have scored the fifth fewest fantasy points in the NFL this season. And in week 14, Smith ended up playing just one fewer snap than Tevin Coleman. He actually out-carried him 11-10. So that's why you're adding Ito Smith this week. Maybe this is a sign that things are starting to change. But you should still hold on to Tevin Coleman, because in week 15, Atlanta's hosting Arizona in a game where the Falcons are pretty big favorites. A positive game script could make Tevin Coleman appealing as a flex option against a team that's given up the third most fantasy points to running backs this season. Add Dante Pettis. Look, touchdown regression is going to hit Dante Pettis eventually. He's now scored 4 times over his last 3 games. He's not going to keep that up. But his peripheral numbers continue to look really good. And that's why he continues to be an add in fantasy football. He's seen 6, 7, 7, and 7 targets over his last 4 games. And during this time, his snap rate has risen from 56.2% in week 10 to about 85% this past week. No 49ers wide receiver came even remotely close to playing as many snaps as Dante Pettis did on Sunday. So he's most definitely worth an add, even with some tough matchups upcoming. Add Damian Williams. So Spencer Ware missed part of Sunday's game with a shoulder injury. And that's part of the reason why Damian Williams played more snaps than Spencer Ware did against the Ravens. But I do think that Williams still needs to be considered an add off the waiver wire this week. He carried the ball 8 times while seeing 5 targets through the air against Baltimore, but most importantly, he had a target and a rush at the goal line on Sunday. He was sort of their goal line back. Now, whether that's something that will carry on into future weeks or not remains to be seen, but in a high-powered offense like Kansas City's, he's roster worthy. Add Ian Thomas. So with Greg Olsen out for the year, Ian Thomas stepped in for Carolina and he played 82% of the team's snaps and he had 11 targets, catching 9 of them for 77 yards. According to Pro Football Focus, only Travis Kelce and Eric Ebron ran more routes than Ian Thomas did in week 14. Those are the only tight ends. And honestly, that's enough to warrant an add off the waiver wire at a position that has absolutely zero depth. Add Elijah McGuire. So the muddy Jets backfield became a little bit clearer because of an Isaiah Crowell injury on Sunday. That injury allowed Elijah McGuire to take on a lead back role in the offense. And he actually did pretty well. He ran the ball 17 times for 60 yards, but he had a 47% success rate. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, success rate measures the percentage of positive expected points runs made by a running back according to NumberFire's net expected points model. Essentially, if it was a run that added expected points, it's deemed a success. And if it's not, it's deemed a failure. A 47% success rate on the ground is pretty good. And he also had 4 targets in the passing game. So if Isaiah Crowell misses time, McGuire should take on a pretty big workload. But I should note that unfortunately, they've got a tough matchup against Houston in week 15. Drop Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson has 19 carries for 114 yards over his last 2 games. That doesn't seem all that bad. But then you remember that he had 90 of those yards on 1 carry 2 weeks ago. Washington is an absolute mess with no real quarterback threat, and the negative game script scenarios that they're likely to face is a huge blow to Adrian Peterson. In wins this year, Peterson is averaging almost 105 rushing yards per game. In losses, that drops to 35. And with Chris Thompson now back in the mix, when that game script does go south, there's even less reason for Adrian Peterson to be on the field. I mean, in Sunday's loss, Peterson only played 30.6% of Washington snaps. That's his lowest rate since Week 5. And now Washington gets Jacksonville in Week 15. I just cannot imagine a scenario where you're starting Adrian Peterson against the Jags in any normal fantasy format. Add Josh Allen. The top streamer from last week has to be the top streamer again this week, and that's Josh Allen. Part of that is because ownership percentages are flat at the quarterback position, and finding a viable, reasonable streamer is tough to do. But a large chunk of it is due to the fact that Josh Allen is a cheat code. He now has 335 rushing yards over his last three games. He leads all NFL quarterbacks in rushing, despite only starting 8 games. And this week, he's going to face a Lions team that entered Week 14 with the 4th worst schedule-adjusted secondary according to NumberFire's expected points model in the league. Now, that secondary looked fine this past Sunday, but they were also facing Josh Rosen. That Arizona passing attack has looked horrific. Allen should give fantasy managers a floor with his rushing, but the ceiling is there if he's able to put a good passing performance together. And that's possible against a very beatable secondary. Add the Atlanta Falcons defense. The Falcons have not been very good defensively this year, but that also shouldn't matter a whole lot against the Cardinals. Arizona scored 20 or more points just 3 times this year, and since Josh Rosen took over under center, opposing defenses are averaging 3 sacks and 1.2 interceptions against them per game. This game is in Atlanta, and we saw the Falcons in Atlanta a couple weeks back put up a decent performance against the Ravens. It's not like the Falcons' defense is completely incapable of being a good fantasy defense. And the Falcons are big favorites in this contest. I mean, really, at the end of the day, you're playing the matchup here. And it's arguably the best matchup that you'll find across the NFL. This week's 16th transaction that you can't get in my weekly 15 transactions column over on numberfire.com is to do 2 things. First, add Chris Conley. And then also add the Miami Dolphins defense. You're first adding Chris Conley because Tyreek Hill apparently told Peter King that his foot was, quote, bad. And since the Chiefs play on Thursday night, that's also very bad. So I would try and get Conley, who could serve as the Chiefs' number one wide receiver on Thursday. Though I would fully expect them to spread things around. And as for the Dolphins, they're an add because in Week 16, they'll face the Jags in Miami. Jacksonville's been atrocious with Cody Kessler under center over the last 2 games. They failed to score 10 points in both contests. So it's an obvious plus matchup for the Dolphins. And if you're planning ahead, they're a defense that you can target off the waiver wire for championship week. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And make sure you're following me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. I'm going to go get some rest, and I'll talk to you later in the week.